What is up, everybody?
Another week, another podcast.
Here we are. A beautiful day here in Spokane, Washington.
Finally stopped snowing.
I wore shorts last week.
I didn't, but
felt
it stopped
good.
Snowing. I stopped plowing last week. You know what's funny? Is our house was the only house in the neighborhood that still had snow. Like in the yard for like the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So I've literally like opened up my window to look out the front of the house and it's like snow still. I'm like, God, this is so depressing.
I got busted the old creamy calves out.
Ooh.
They were, wait. Anyhow, thank you for tuning in. This is America's Diesel Podcast brought to you by Diesel Power Products.
Yes.
Bam. Make sure to check us out on Google Play, SoundCloud, iTunes, Spotify. Go on iTunes, leave us a 5-star review, screenshot that bad boy, send it to Tyler@DieselPowerProducts.com.
Yeah, and I'll send you a dank meme with a handwritten letter from these two yahoos right here. Absolutely. Those are actually all ready to go out, I think. So sorry for the delay. Meme, of course, handwritten letter by us. Promise to make some upper butt crack sweat. And I know I have been getting some emails. I've been a little slow at getting some of these out. I'm trying to be as creative as possible. And I just finally sat down today and I was like, you know what? Here we go. And I think I got some pretty good ones. So
force the creative juices.
Yes. Sometimes you guys got to squeeze those juices, you know?
To get them dank. Yeah. You got to squeeze to get the dank.
Yes.
Memes.
Yes.
Because aren't memes outlawed in like Europe now or something?
Are they really?
I don't know. That's probably a joke. Anyhow, today's topic, we are talking about Easter Jeep Safari.
Well, people are probably like, well, this is Diesel Power Products. Why are you guys talking about Easter Jeep? They don't put no diesel in a Jeep. Well, they did, but.
Yeah, they did. So Easter Jeep Safari, it's out in Moab.
Moab, Utah.
Utah.
Yeah.
And it's grown over the years, especially recently.
Yeah.
I wouldn't say recently, but like the last 15 years.
Yeah, and for guys that don't know, we obviously have Diesel Power Products, which that's who we are representing, and that's what the podcast represents. But we also have our another company called Off-Road Power Products. It's kind of something that we started a really long time ago, and it's just kind of finally now kind of gaining some traction. It was
pun
cool.
Intended.
Yeah. I didn't even mean to. That was good.
Oh, man.
So it's just now gaining some traction.
Yeah.
But Easter Jeep's kind of cool because it's kind of something that it's cool for us at least because we can showcase both stores.
And a lot of the trucks that we do a lot of suspension stuff, as you've heard us talk about before in other podcasts.
We like suspension.
I think there's the suspension stuff on trucks is a lot of unknown for a lot of folks. So
it's a lot of unknown, and the funny thing about it too, with a lot of trucks, there's a lot of issues that are associated with it. So it's like we're killing two birds with one stone.
And what helps with off-roading? Suspension.
Yes.
What can help an off-roading truck not do well? Bad suspension.
Mm-hmm.
So suspension is key. You've heard us talk about that before. So a lot of the stuff that we sell, especially for diesel pickups, some of it ends up at Moab. And a lot of the trucks that we build actually end up at Moab. And we have actually a nice little list of vehicles going down. And let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4. 4 of them are Diesel.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, so I mean, and then all of them have suspension. Of course, we have our tow rig, which isn't even on there, which you've heard us talk about before, the Manuel.
Yeah, Manuel.
But so Easter Jeep Safari out in Moab started in 1947. Give you a little bit of backstory on there. It morphed into a huge amount of companies and brands coming out there and wanting to get out there and not just get the picture, go out and do cool stuff, but actually socialize and hang out with other people.
Yeah.
And a lot of times that's what a lot of these big events come down to. It's not just there for spectators to come through and check out and meet people, but a lot of times that may be the one time that year that you actually see someone from that company and get some face time with them.
Absolutely. And it's a great place for companies to showcase brand new products.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to say it's like the SEMA of the off-road because obviously off-road is involved with SEMA as well, but this is I would say probably one of the biggest showcases of new products for Jeeps. Not only Jeeps, but anything off-roadering really.
Yeah, and I mean, and they have even obviously they won't if you show up there in anything that's not a Jeep, they're not gonna be like, get out of here.
Yeah,
you can't come here. Yeah. This is Easter Jeep Safari. You're not in a Jeep. You just get out.
Yeah, just get out.
Don't worry. As long as they're doing cool stuff, you're fine, and go hang out with them.
Yeah, they actually have a whole the
full size invasion,
which of course we're part of every year because how can you? It's like. owning a diesel truck and not like you, that those don't, two don't go together. If you're a diesel owner and you off-road, like you're part of the full-size invasion.
Yeah. So obviously Jeeps are not really like full-size vehicles per se.
Yeah.
So you get all these like 3/4 and 1-ton trucks going out on the full-size invasion. That will go out and do their own thing. It's really fun. Like I think last couple of years there's always been that excursion on there, the red one.
Yeah.
And I think I'm pretty sure it's called Big Sexy or the Sexcursion because there's only like 5 names for excursions.
Yeah.
But I know that he's been out there a whole bunch of times. He's got some, what are the bumpers? Those mercenaries?
I was just going to bring up, like when we first started kind of getting into this off-road side of things, one of the companies that we did a lot of business with was Mercenary Off-Road. Was it Todd Farron? Todd, the owner at Mercenary. And he builds some of the coolest like off-road oriented bumpers that are available for like 3/4 ton trucks. And I think he builds them for other trucks too. I mean, I think at SEMA the last time I went, I saw it's an older, like I want to say like a 99 body style. Did they have Cadillac Escalades back then?
Yeah.
Anyways,
if they did
that old school body, because I've seen guys take like the Yukons or whatever, or the Suburbans or whatever, and put like the Cadillac grill and all, you know. So imagine like that body style of there you go. Fact check me. But he did one that had his bumpers on the, like, it just looked cool. Like, I don't know if it was an actual Cadillac Escalade that he did this to, but he just built some really clean bumpers. You know, a lot of those like off-road style bumpers, they will open up like the corners of the, or like right in front of the front tire there. There's obviously a lot of unnecessary things as far as if you're off-roadering that don't need to be there, such as like fog lights or that kind of stuff. Well, there's bumpers that'll actually sort of open that area up to increase your approach angle of your truck as you're going over an obstacle. Well, what's cool with Mercenary's bumpers is he kind of plates all those in. So he plates the whole side of the bumper. So instead of seeing like your body mount and everything that's hidden behind your fender that's ugly, he kind of hides it with his bumpers, which is really cool. When I think of full size invasion at Easter Jeep, I always think of Todd Farron and his like Cummins that had no lift 40s and Mercenary putting his bumpers on it. Like, and he was running like, Pitbull. What are those tires? Oh my gosh.
Rockers.
Pitbull tires, the Rockers. I think they're called the Rocker. Yeah, which is just like a super aggressive tire. And he's just got this like stuff in 40s on this truck. It looks like it's got no lift. And he just, it was awesome. And he's also got that Wagoneer, which this is what kind of got me revved up on Wagoneers. He did that Wagoneer with Cummins. I believe there's a Cummins in that. He put a Cummins in it, and then he built custom bumpers for that. And that thing is so clean.
Yeah.
So clean.
Yeah, his bumpers are definitely like the, in my opinion, like the high-speed, low-drag.
I love the plated, like the plate in the sides.
Super strong, super aggressive looking, but all about approach and departure angle, wheel travel, you know, basically like a pretty good off-road, an excellent off-road bumper to make sure that you're not going to have any kind of interference issues.
And all always, while hiding all the crap.
Yeah, and always built tough as hell.
Yeah.
Like I think there's a video of Howie the first year that it went, so I would have been like 17. On Ultimate Adventure, when Cooper like slid off a ledge and just banged the rear bumper.
Yeah.
And that's a full size 3/4 ton diesel pickup with a lot of weight in there, just going bunk on the ledge. And you could hear everybody just like, oh no. Yeah.
You just hear that solid clunk.
It just slides off, and we go back and look at it. It's not even dented, it's like scuffed.
Yeah.
Like, holy moly, dude.
Yeah. He built some good stuff. So full size invasion down there is pretty awesome because you also see rigs that are like, wow, should he be doing that right now? But hey, whatever.
I think my favorite type of off-road rig to see doing that kind of stuff is the really like the 3/4 1-ton truck that's like still got all the stock body paneling on it, but is just trashed.
Hammed,
every panel has been hit with a rock. The frame's probably bent. It's like almost tacoed. Yeah. But they just still send it. Like, there's a video that goes around on Instagram of it's not Randy's transmission, but it's a dually going up some slick rock.
Yeah.
And it's like, he's got it pinned, or at least going into it. It's like,
I love the guy that like,
and everybody's just like, hell yeah, man.
So I'm not trying to like make fun of this guy, but I actually enjoy this guy. Mm-hmm. Like when I go somewhere like off, like any trail or whatever, like I actively look for this guy to watch because it's always the most entertaining. Mm-hmm. But it's usually the guy that's like, he's kind of a little bit, he's got a couple screws loose. but he buys like a brand new truck.
Yeah.
And it has stock wheels and tires. And he just, like, the salesman talked him into, like, this is the one. This is the one. If you're going to off-road your truck, this is the one that you want.
It's got red
the off-road
hooks.
Package. Yeah. You know, it's got all this stuff. And he's usually the guy that's just like, yeah, I bought the dealership. Do all this stuff. And you just see him just literally just beating the living crap out of the stock truck just because it's like, well, he said I could do it. Like,
it's got skid plates.
Yeah.
It's got factory skid plates. Yeah, this don't
plastic
worry
ones,
it.
You mean? Yeah.
But it's got factory steps.
There's always one of those that's just like, that guy's crazy. But then he always like is like, wow, he made it. He made it this far. Like we're having lunch right now on the trail and he's still here. How is this happening?
Yeah. No warranty, no problem on that one.
Yeah. Like, I don't care. I just hit my rockers.
I'll buy new ones. They'll warranty it. It's off road. If they know I'm taking it off road. Yeah. Like, oh my goodness. You are in for a world of hurt. So let's get into what we're taking there. So
can I go first? Because I want to start off with my favorite one, which is the probably the least, like, I don't know
what you're gonna say.
The Mahindra.
I love that thing.
I love that little thing.
If you don't know what a Mahindra is, Google it. It's a Roxor, Roxor. Yeah, Mahindra
Roxor, which Mahindra builds tractors and like equipment, but they also build this like UTV/Jeep/not Jeep.
It's like a little baby Jeep with a little tiny little baby diesel in it.
But here's the cool thing, like back in the day, like those old Jeeps, they weren't actually much bigger. Like that tub on that Mahindra is actually really close.
Yeah, it's like an
it's
old,
almost identical.
Like a really old flat
like a military Jeep. Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah. So like right now in the shop, like if a guy never saw a Mahindra before, or I call it a Mahindra, but they always call it a Roxor.
Yeah.
So if you've never seen the Roxor before, like I don't think they would have known, like just from like 25 feet away, known that that was a Roxor.
Well, especially now, so we put some actual flat fenders on it, some steel
flat fenders, yep,
and some tall skinnies. They're like, I think they're 33s.
Yeah,
they're like 9 and 35, like 10 and a halfs,
10 wide or something.
They're
like that.
They're 9 or 10 wide. They're narrow.
But then we also took the grill and got rid of the Mahindra grill. And there's a company that makes like a old school Jeep style grill for it.
It's gonna be so cool.
The thing just
and
looks
and
awesome.
I think Dave's redoing the roll cage, so it's not like 9 feet above it, so it's chopped a little bit.
Yeah.
That thing's gonna be so cool.
Yeah, and again, a little diesel. And do you know what's cool about that? For guys out there that's looking at like UTVs, but want something that's like, here's the thing. Compared that to a UTV, like a Razor or a Can-Am or something, you kind of can't. Because those are like in a totally different category of like UTVs. Mm-hmm. I mean, obviously they're cool. You can do a lot of cool stuff with those things. They go really freaking fast. But if you wanted like a more utilitarian type of like vehicle, and especially if you live in a state that allows you to like drive this thing on the road, like how cool. And they are so cheap. They're so cheap.
For what you get, it's got solid axles. It's a manual T-case.
And it's all like Dana axles too. Like it's not like like some offshoot axle. Like we took it to Nitro and they put lockers in it, like we got this thing locked up and geared, like she's ready to rock.
Brian was saying when he's out his properties, Brian over the company will take the Mahindra out there and his son will drive around his hopped up his side. What does he have? Is it a Razor?
The Can-Am X3.
His son will be out there jamming around the Can-Am. Brian's like, I'm going like 2 miles an hour over these rocks. I'm having the time of my life.
Yeah,
go ahead, kid. Go ahead. Yeah. Go do donuts. I'm over here just putting around low range. It's a good time. I got a cooler.
Yeah. Cup holders and I'm not spilling my beer.
Yeah. And a windshield.
We're off-road guys driving it off-road. You can have beers off-road.
This is true.
Maybe you
can't.
Maybe you can't. I don't know. I don't know what the law is. There, you know, private property. Do whatever you want.
I am not a police officer nor part of the law, so do as I say, not as I do.
Yeah. So,
anyhow.
But yeah,
so,
that's,
yeah,
that's probably my favorite just because it's like, it's diesel, it's Jeep, and it's, but it's not Jeep.
Yeah.
So, and it's cool. And it's something that, like, again, if a guy's in a market for a UTV, like a Razor, you're going to save money going with a Mahindra. The one thing that is kind of crappy about it is that it's got a 45 mile an hour cap.
Yeah.
But there's companies out there tuning wise, take that out.
Yeah, we'll
be good
to
go. And there's a lot of aftermarket support for these things that are just starting up too, which is huge. Like, that's awesome.
When it rolled into the shop, I was like, oh, great. It's going to be one of those
nothing.
Things where we have to make all our own parts for. And they're like, oh, no, dude, the aftermarket's booming. And like 2 weeks later, I started Googling stuff. I was like,
oh, my God, they are.
Wow, you can. Wow, they make like a roof rack for this?
It's pretty
crap.
Sweet. I actually considered it, but in Washington, the laws kind of suck for driving that on the road.
So we're taking that one. We're also taking, we're just going to go down the list here, Stretch. That's our JK that we stretched out to 142, 145 inches?
Something like that.
Why are you giving me hand signals, Cameron?
105? Well, it's okay. The stretch kit for the two-door JK.
Yeah, which is why it's called stretch. Yeah. And we put one of the Cummins R28s, so a repower common rail 2A, basically the replacement for the 4BT crate engine. And then we mated that up to the 8HP70 from an EcoDiesel, so it's got an 8-speed.
8-speed automatic.
Hell yeah.
And it's super clean. One of the cool things I like about that, I like the shifter they used. Because they use like the Charger Challenger shifter. It's pretty cool. So that thing's awesome.
Yeah.
That engine
thing
coupled
comes along.
Yeah, coupled with the 8-speed, like that's the cool thing with like all these new trucks, half tons, even some of I'm sure in the like who knows what they're going to have in the next 5 years as far as transmissions on these trucks, cuz they're finding that more
getting, like,
speeds.
10 speeds.
Yeah, 10 speeds, like, man, it's crazy. But like the capability, like it just widens the capability of that, of the, you know, the operating range of that engine. So it's pretty sweet.
Yeah, well, it's kind of cool because they're finally figuring out, like, okay, well, we get really good power and mileage when we keep it at this RPM
range.
Yeah,
let's just...
How do we do that? Well, let's give it more gears. Okay. And other technologies there to do it.
Yeah.
So it's like, you even look at, like, you know the old 7.3 with a 4-speed automatic, which, you know, 3 in overdrive.
Yeah.
It's like archaic compared to even a 6R140. And then even then, there's now 10-speed transmissions going on a 6.7 power stroke. Like, what?
Yeah, crazy. Awesome. I love
My God. So anyhow, then we've got Howie, which if you ever heard us talk about him, we even did a whole episode on single cab short bed that we chopped ourselves, 6.7 Cummins, a whole bunch of power options,
yeah, and
emissions
quick,
intact.
Yeah, emissions intact. And back to Howie too, emissions intact on Howie. If there's one rig to watch at if you're there and full-size invasion, watch Howie. Like that, that rig is pretty incredible.
It gets real flexy with a 3-link in the front.
Yeah, and as far as like that, I'm not sure there's an obstacle that thing cannot go up. Like, show me an obstacle that a Jeep or whatever your best off-roading vehicle can go up, and take Howie on it.
I will say, barring, like, size.
Right, like, if there's a tree.
If you're scraping both doors in a Jeep, obviously the Howie's not going to fit in there. But take away the, you know, external size thing there as far as, like, actual terrain. Oh, yeah. Things
that
are dope.
Yeah. Bring it.
It literally looks like an RC car.
Yeah, it does.
Because the tires
are
so big and it's so short.
Short, yeah.
With the tent in there. And with Cooper, who's obviously a very small individual. It's a joke.
Not.
He's giant.
Yeah.
So it looks even more ridiculous. And we've got Kyle's truck, the ZR2. He's got a little baby D-Max in there.
Yeah.
He actually just got it back. He got the fenders and bedsides cut and flared? Or just cut?
I would say cut and flared, probably.
Cut and flared.
To accommodate 35s.
Yeah, 35s on a leveling kit on a ZR2. That's pretty cool. And he's locked up and geared.
And he's got all the factory options as far as like all the off-roading capability. Mm-hmm. When we say off-roading, I know it's not a word. Guess what? It is a word when you call us, all right? So deal with it. But it's got all the same, like there's no features that have been disabled on that truck as far as, and he's all emissions intact as well.
And that's his daily driver.
Daily driver.
Yeah, takes the kids everywhere in it. Let's see here. What else we got? All right. So we've got the ZR2. We've also got Brett's JL.
Oh, Brett's
so,
JL. My favorite color of Jeep.
Yeah. So Brett's our IT guy. And I know you already got a picture in your head of an IT guy named Brett driving a Jeep.
Yeah.
Brett is not your normal IT guy. I'm not going to show a picture of him because he probably doesn't want me to. But Brett is a certified badass.
He's former SWAT.
Yes.
Former military too. I think he's got some military stuff in his.
Yeah, it's one of those things where, and we've had other companies tell us this too. And this is, if Brett, you're listening, which he's probably not because he's way too cool to listen to this podcast. And I mean that with like all due respect.
He's bald like me. And he rides a Harley.
When people come in and they're like, oh, who's your IT guy? And I'm like, oh, this is Brett. And they're like, oh, your IT guy right here? Yeah. Or like he'll be over in the corner, like getting a beer or something like that. They're like, that's your IT guy? Like, yeah, with all the tattoos? Yeah. Really, that's your IT guy? You hang out with him? Like, yeah, he's cool as hell. Like, your IT guy's cool.
Yeah.
What? He rides a Harley?
Yeah.
What?
Totally not the guy you would think to be an IT guy. But, hey, he's awesome. I love Brett.
Yeah.
He's a good dude.
So he's got a two-door JL 2018 with a little 2-liter in it, right?
2-liter turbo. It's the same engine that my wife has in her little Jeep Cherokee. Trailhawk.
Trailhawk with the red tow hooks.
Yes, with the red tow hooks. Has them. Awesome little engine, by the way. I love driving that thing. That thing is like a little go-kart to me. Mm-hmm. It's freaking awesome. But yeah, his JL. Ugh. The color. What color is that? I call it like cement because that's like what Toyota uses, is that cement color. I really, really like it. But he's got 37s on that thing.
Yeah,
and it's not stretched. And that's just like your standard two-door with like a, 2.5-inch lift or something like that?
Yeah, he's got a little, like a Terraflex. It's like 2 or 2.5. Like basically like your, like a space, or like a leveling kit almost, but a little more. But yeah, that
with
color.
With 37s.
With 37s, no rubbing.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I think he's, is he running AEV wheels?
No, he's running, it's Cooper's old wheels, which are Method. Oh, yeah. They're the Methods. Yeah. I can't remember.
37 looks beautiful. He's got his bike rack on the bike because he mountain bikes. Yes, that's right. Our IT guy mountain bikes because he's cool. But that's a really slick look. Yeah, the color, it's almost like GM's charcoal, but not shiny. I
think that's how else to put it. If like the charcoal and Toyota cement
slick
like came together and they had a baby. that would be Brett's color of Jeep.
Then we've got another 18 JL Cooper's.
Yeah.
Pumpkin, because it's orange.
Yeah.
That one's a four-door, though. Same
engine, 2-liter turbo.
Yeah, some Terraflex suspension on there. And I believe he do different fenders?
He did. He cut his, because there's a kit that you can do on those JLs, so now they have the lights and the fenders.
That's right.
And you can, there's a kit where you can basically, where the top of the light goes on the fender, you can cut that. And like, so he did like a fender modification, and he's got 40s on that thing.
Yeah, and that thing's re-geared as well.
Yeah.
That thing rips. That's cool. Yeah,
and that engine, I'm telling you, that 2-liter turbo is insane.
Yeah, well, 2-liter turbo and geared on 40s. I haven't heard Cooper so enthusiastic about a truck like that a vehicle like that in a long time.
Yeah, and you know, and I was, being that I drove a 2-liter turbo like quite a bit because my wife owns one. You know, I was a little hesitant and a little worried about like how I was going to react with that. Because, I mean, it's a small motor. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's a small motor. So, you know, but just the way that they've coupled that engine with the transmission. And again, his gearing is huge. It's perfect.
What, do you know what trans is in it?
I don't know what it, like,
is
what
it
they call it.
As well, or,
but no. it's a, I believe it's a 9-speed. I believe it's a 9-speed.
All right, yeah, fact check that real quick. we're going to move on. Next thing we've got is the Polaris General, and we've got a lot of that. That thing has seen some time. It's seen some fun. I believe it's rolled over.
Yep.
If you haven't rolled over your side-by-side, you need to get on the ball because everybody has. But they're taking that as well. It's got coils, armor. I think it's got some Method race wheels on there. I think they had
9-speed automatic.
9-speed automatic. Holy guacamole. Yeah. I think it had 35s on it at one point, but now they've gone down to 33s, I think. I think they ended up bending too many shafts.
Yeah, and that seems to be, and this kind of springs back to like that Mahindra conversation, because everybody wants to put giant tires on these side-by-sides, but if you look at like all the steering components and suspension components, they're tiny. So yeah. It's like you put all these giant weights on the corner of this rig and expect to do the same tasks that it could do with the smaller tires. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it just wears parts out way quicker. Yeah.
So that'll be basically, that'll be the vehicle that keeps lapping the Mahindra.
Possibly, if it doesn't break.
If it doesn't break, yeah.
Who's driving? Because that is a huge factor on the lifespan of that vehicle.
That's true. That's a huge factor.
Yeah, I bet you. this is like I'm like almost betting against us right now. But I bet you the only thing that leaves there. I should back up. You know what? Screw it. I'm going to make that bet because I see crazier things happen. I bet you the Mahindra is the only one that survives.
The only one that doesn't break?
Yeah, the only one that has zero issues, the Mahindra. The Mahindi for the win.
The lowest power, least modded.
Cheapest.
Yeah. I would go on a limb and I would say, I don't know, I assume Brett's going to wheel his JL, but I think...
Brett's going to drive out of there because he won't put it in a situation where he can't.
That's true.
He likes that thing too much.
Cooper's going to sit and be like, do it.
Cooper's going to egg
him
on.
Do it.
For sure.
Do it.
Do it. He's going to be like, yeah, it's going to
be. Brett's going to be like, dude, I'm not going to do it. Leave me alone.
Yeah. So I can already see how that's going to go. But yeah. I'm going to say it now, but I'm going to say zero issues at all. Okay. So we can have an issue down there. and they fix it and everything's fine. It could be something stupid, but I'm going to say the Mahindra is not going to have one single issue.
Like literally always starts, always turns off, always stops.
Yep.
Always, okay. All right. You know, I probably go with you on there.
But you know, it is cool because we can make bets like that because we actually use our rigs how they're intended to be used. So it's like, hey, I don't feel bad if we go down there and do like, hey man, we got a little crazy on that trail and we broke something. It's like, hey, that's respect.
Well,
that's
we
trail
typically
crack.
Break something every Easter Jeep Safari.
It wouldn't be a proper wheeling trip if we didn't break anything.
This is science at this point.
God, science.
That kind of brings me to a little bit of like a history, bit of a rant or tangent, if you will. A couple of Easter Jeep Safaris ago, I think it was probably the first that I was with the company is when we first took Grandma out there.
We're getting a little
history right now. A lot of our heartstrings go out with that rig.
I love that rig. I'm an old Wagoneer fan myself.
Full-size Jeep, and this was right when that, I think it was like that new electric blue color came out for Jeeps or something like that.
Yeah, we got one. The JL?
The Blueberry,
the Blueberry, yeah.
But so the part that I loved about Grandma, and I wasn't there to see it, but I've heard other people say this, not just Brian and Cooper. And everybody's out there, and of course, Easter Jeep Safari, there's a lot of Jeeps there.
Yeah.
And that new blue color came out, so there's blue Jeeps everywhere. Everywhere you go, there's just a blue Jeep that's slightly different built. It's just Jeep, 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 blue, 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 blue.
JK, we should say Jeep JK.
JK, yeah.
JK, 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 JK.
Nothing wrong with JKs. The fact that everybody's buying them, modding them, makes you a bigger aftermarket. That's fine.
Yeah.
But when you're out there and you're trying to stand out in the crowd, I'm not saying that's what we want to do, but we tend to kind of like do our own thing, really.
Yeah.
Kind of like doing our cool stuff. And everybody's out there like, okay, I want people to notice me. I'm one of 55 blue Jeeps here. I got to make sure people notice me. We had a rusty, unpainted, like the engine had no work done. All we did was put electronic fuel injection on there and rebuilt the 360.
Yeah.
37s, stock axles, and we locked the front with manual hubs. Yeah. That was the first, I think we had put the roll cage in.
Yeah.
And we couldn't keep people off that thing.
Yeah.
Everybody's walking up. Oh, man, look at this thing. What'd you guys do to it? Like, these are stock axles, man. Like, it's going to break. We know it, but we have plans for it later on.
Mm-hmm.
And that thing, we took it on Ultimate Adventure twice? Did we?
I think we just took it on once.
I thought we did. I know we made the cover with it.
Did we take it twice, Cam?
Yeah.
We just took it
twice. Did Grandma twice?
Oh, yeah, he died on one.
That's right, yeah.
Came back to life.
So, yeah, we took Grandma out there. We called it Grandma because...
Well, it's old.
It's old, and there's other reasons, too, but we can't tell you about that on a podcast. Yeah, but it still worked, and we still never painted it. It still had rust spots, and it had a sweet roof rack on it. That's right, because they took on the Ultimate Adventure where they had the canoe on the top.
Yeah.
The summer camp one. That was cool.
Yeah.
But I missed that one. It got sold to a local guy up here who I think he's actually trying to sell it.
I like that thing too. That thing is
so cool.
Awesome.
I got to drive a little bit and it was done right. It was, and that thing, it has that permanent off-roading musty smell on the inside.
Kind of what the Suburban has a little bit, but yeah.
You can't get rid of it no matter how hard you try.
Yeah.
Cause it just smells like sweat, fun, and Cameron's death. Cameron's our camera guy and he went on Ultimate Adventure and got a little dehydrated.
Yeah.
To say the least. But he's here now and he works on the camera. His name's Cam. He's pretty cool. But yeah, that's like that's my history rant for the day.
Yeah. So my rant, and I don't know why I keep on forgetting my rant from the week before, but I hope I'm not repeating myself. But this ties perfectly in with this one, or this episode, just because you're talking about, okay, yeah, there's Jeep, JK, Jeep, JK, Jeep, JK, Jeep, JK. You know why there's so many of those? The cool thing is the manufacturer has made it easy for the aftermarket to make parts for this rig.
I see where you're going.
Which is awesome. And so what I've been thinking about like for a while is why isn't the diesel side of things following suit with the off-road and with the Jeep community? Because look at like the markets that they've opened up for the Jeep community. I mean, there's so many companies that are just catered around Jeeps.
Like Harleys.
Yeah, just all Jeep stuff, and that the amount of revenue that is just made from the aftermarket for these vehicles because the manufacturer made it easy for them to do that. Like, could you imagine if the diesel side followed suit and did that with diesel trucks? Like, made it easy to modify, made it easy to make it their own.
Yeah,
like how. I don't understand why manufacturers don't. Like, that's what kind of gets me with like the new GM stuff where they made it so hard for aftermarket tuning to get in there. Why? Like, I mean, really, why? Like, what's the worst that can happen? A guy buys a brand new truck, tunes it, blows it up, takes it in, and has to pay for it to fix it? GM Sorry. Still makes money. Yeah. Like, I don't... That's the thing, because it's like they're cutting off a huge, huge market that can just not only make their vehicle more popular, but just make the industry bigger. And isn't, I mean, that's what also makes everything cheaper for us too. So it's like, that's something that I've always kind of thought about, and I've just kind of wondered like why. And I've never really gotten, of course, I mean, who are you going to talk to that's going to give you a straight answer on that? Probably right. No one. But
Jeff at Ford would.
Jeff at Ford might. No, he got fired a long time ago. They finally picked up the same common rail guy and was like, dude, this guy's way better. This guy's freaking smart. No, okay. But I mean, that's my rant for the day. I like, you know, that's something that I'd love to maybe chat with, you know, I don't know. I'd love to chat with someone about and see like why. Because I mean, I think for one, I mean, obviously for us, we're an aftermarket parts sales. So that's like something that we would totally go for. A little biased, yeah. But at the same time, it's like, I feel like they're cutting themselves off at the knees, even for like, so what if the guy voids his warranty? So what if he blows it up? That's his own fault. If he wants it fixed, he's got to go back to a dealer and pay him. Yeah, and it's not under warranty.
It's almost like trying to make it, if you make it more black and white and more clear, like instead of saying, oh, we're going to make the computer the hardest thing to break into. No one's ever going to get into there. And then let's say someone does and they blow up and take it back in. And there's like, you had to have gotten the computer. No, you guys said it's impossible. There's no way I could have gotten there.
Yeah.
Well, no, you were in there. Like, no, yeah, I didn't.
Yeah.
Well, how'd you blow it up? I don't know. It's like, I feel like Jeep has like a very defined list of like, if you bring it in, they can tell what's happened to it or something like that. But yeah. I see what you mean. Like it's they're not letting people do what they want.
Yeah. I mean, I think for the longest time, like, I guess Ram has been pretty easy with modifications on their truck. I mean, all of them have been fairly easy, but just for the fact that the all these new rigs where they're kind of starting like these horsepower wars again, I know we've brought that up before, but like, why not open it up to the aftermarket and why not make, because the diesel community, I mean, we know, like, that's a pretty like, I mean, guys love their trucks.
Oh yeah.
I would say they love their trucks just as much as Jeep guys love their Jeeps. And I mean,
except I don't hear diesel guys going, you know, let's go dieseling. Like Jeep guys go, let's go Jeeping.
Yeah, yeah, let's go dieseling.
I'm going to go Jeep over here, and then we're going to take our friends. We're going to go Jeeping over there. Hey, you guys, we're going to go Jeeping and get some dinner later. You want to go?
Well, with like Jeepers, like when you pass them, they like wave at each other. And like diesel guys, it's like,
you want to race?
Yeah, you want to race? Your power stroke sucks. Yeah. So that's my rant for the day. That's what I hope to maybe in the future, maybe they, you know, maybe come around and make it a little bit easier for, you know, manufacturers to come out with cool products for them and make it customizable like Jeeps are, or like Toyotas are. Toyota's insane. Like Toyota and Jeep are killing it in the aftermarket game for when they manufacture trucks. So
yeah, they got a leg up. So I'm going to end this with one of the best reviews ever left.
Oh, wow. I didn't even know about this.
It's good. I got a reader real quick. And it's hard because I don't have anything here to simulate a big old chaw on my bottom lip. But I mean, take a big chug of this barley juice and I'm pretty sure I can already feel some of my lips starting to move a little better. Yeah. All right, so this here review is about some high pressure. It's for 7.3, which why it makes it near and dear to my heart. So this is about some lines. I'm going to read this as best as I can. If this is your review and you're listening, I love you. And there's a couple of A words in here, but there's nothing bad. So hide your kids, hide your wife, all that kind of good stuff. It says, I just dropped an ass load of dough on a damn H-pop and some new lines, and shit. For old Bessie, she's got 306K on her and running like a rip date. Boy, howdy. Let me tell you, there's some damn good folks over at Diesel Power Products. I'll tell you what. Literally typed out.
Literally.
Like, he took the time to write that and post it.
May I?
Yeah.
I tell you what. Yeah. All right. Hey, old Bessie, she's got 306K on her. Oh my God, I love this guy.
So, Mr. 7.3, I hope that everybody feels that way when I work out 7.3 parts for you guys, because that makes me happy.
Yeah, that's awesome.
And on that, we're going to end the podcast. Thanks for tuning in. We'll see you next week.
See ya.